Will you pray with me? Father, how grateful we are for the privilege of having Jesus. He is the greatest joy of our lives. But we're always reminded that there are millions of people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. May we continue to be missionaries for your glory. Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be in this high holy place. May we not take our gathering for granted, but with attitudes of gratitude and hearts filled with praise, we will give you the worship that you are so deserving of. Now, Lord, as we turn our attention toward your word, speak, Lord Jesus. Our eyes are open, our ears are attentive, our hearts are receptive. Speak to us, challenge us, convict us, but ultimately, God, our prayer is that you will change us. Continue to shape and conform us into the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name that we pray and ask you for it all. All the people of God said, amen. Well, good morning. I greet you with Jesus' joy. What a joy and privilege it is to once again be in the Lord's house and to be back with you, First Naples. You need to know I have been praying for you. I've been praying for you during these seasons since the last time I was here. In fact, when I was here the last time and Pastor Kevin was telling me about this weekend, I penciled it in my calendar even without an invitation, hoping that he would extend an invitation. I went home and told my wife, put it on your calendar. I think we get to go back to First Naples, and I may have stalked him just a little bit. But grateful. There's no shame in my game. I asked him if I could come, and so he let me come. But I have been praying for you. I am a friend of this church. You guys have been so gracious. And the last time I was here, I was so excited. I asked, can I bring my wife? She has to have the First Baptist Naples experience, and you guys were gracious to let me bring her. Thank you. Well, my friends, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So if you've got your copy of God's Word, will you join me in Jonah chapter 3 on this, your Kingdom Missions Weekend? Kingdom Missions Weekend. I want to draw your attention to this Old Testament book, who many of us may not think it to be a book on missions, but I guarantee you that by the end of our time together, you'll see it a whole lot like I see it. It's my custom to stand for the reading of God's word, so if you're at all physically able to do so, as you arrive in Jonah chapter 3, we'll read the word of God together. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Amen. That's enough. You may be seated. The presence of the Lord. I read in your hearing Jonah chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. Allow me to use this as a title, connection with your Kingdom Missions Weekend. God's mission, or Kingdom mission, but disobedient missionaries. The reason that I use that is because all of us have been called to be missionaries. And in Jonah is a missionary who is disobedient. Have you ever made a mistake in life? Have you ever made the wrong choice? Did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, and you just wish you could get another chance? I've made some mistakes in my life. In fact, I've made so many mistakes in my life, I don't even thank God now for a second chance. I've lost count. So I've just learned to thank him for another chance. Jonah is experiencing another chance. In Jonah chapter 3, your Bible says that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Because this is not the first time that Jonah received this message. Can I suggest to us that we're more like Jonah than many of us like to admit? Because the first thing that I recognize when I read this book called Jonah is that Jonah had a clear call from God. There was no uncertainty. There was no ambiguity. Jonah knew exactly who was speaking to him, what he wanted him to do, where God wanted him to go, and to whom God wanted him to minister to. Jonah had a clear call from God. And like Jonah, there are many of us who have also heard clear calls from God. God has spoken very clearly to us, and yet we, like Jonah, in spite of having this clear call from God, have decided we're not going to do what God called us to do. You don't believe me that Jonah heard this message before. Look with me at Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, your Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into this ship to go with them to Tarshish, fleeing from the presence of the Lord." This is not the first time that Jonah received this message. Jonah had a clear call from God, but Jonah decided, like many of us have decided, we're not going to obey the calling that God has on our life. Jonah disobeys. Are there any areas of your life where you know God wants you to live differently and yet you've decided you're going to disobey him? Maybe y'all are more spiritual than I am here at First Baptist Naples, but when I go down the inventory of my life, there are far too many areas where I know I'm not walking in complete obedience to God. We're more like Jonah than many of us like to admit. But here's the reality. Jonah discovers that whenever you choose to disobey God, there are consequences that come with disobeying God. In fact, in Jonah chapter 1, we see Jonah reaping the consequences for the choices of disobedience that he's made. And I know you're asking, why doesn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? It's a great question. The reason Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh is because Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians had oppressed Jonah and his people for generations, and therefore Jonah developed a hatred for the Assyrians. But in spite of his dislike for them and their dislike for him, Jonah is being called by God, sent by God to go and minister to people to whom he doesn't like. But because Jonah doesn't like those people, Jonah doesn't want to minister to those people. Do you have some of those people in your life? Oh, come on, you know those people. Those people who live on the other side of town, those people who may speak a different language than you, those people who look different than you, those people who every time you think of them, you have this negative connotation in your mind. You know those people. We all have some of those people. In fact, I got some of those people even in my family. Because we all have that crazy uncle. As long as they stay on their side of the street, their side of town, over there, we just get along a whole lot better. But here it is. I stop by on my way to heaven just to remind you, even as I remind myself, that God loves those people. Jesus Christ died for those people. And because God loves those people, you and I better learn how to minister to those people. But Jonah decides, I don't like those people. In fact, I don't like those people more than I love you. Because if I loved you more than I dislike them, even though I don't particularly like them, I'll walk in obedience to you. And unfortunately, there are far too many of us, even here this morning, who are picking and choosing to whom we will minister to. So Jonah decides, I'd rather disobey you, God, than minister to those people. And throughout Jonah chapter 1, we see Jonah reaping the consequences of his disobedience. Listen, my friends, hear me well. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position or your title is. Whenever you make a decision to disobey God, there are consequences to pay. And by the end of Jonah chapter 1, we see this missionary, this disobedient missionary being thrown overboard. A ship that he was on fleeing the presence of the Lord. But then the 17th verse of the first chapter, by the end of the first chapter, your Bible says that God creates this fish, this great fish, to swallow Jonah. Initially, when you read this story, you think that this fish is punishment. But if God was really trying to punish Jonah, God would have just allowed Jonah to drown in the sea. But when I look at this story in its totality, this fish was not punishment. This fish was protection. That God created this fish to swallow Jonah. And this fish swallows Jonah, swims to the bottom of the sea, and for 3 days and three nights, Jonah is in the belly of this fish. I know some of you are fishermen, and you're saying, I've never seen a fish like that. This was a fish created on purpose. You're not going to catch this fish. This was a fish created solely for the purpose of swallowing Jonah, because God created this negative environment because God knew that in this negative environment, he could get Jonah's attention. Unfortunately, it's true even of us. That sometimes God has to allow the negative environments in our lives to exist because God can get our attention in the negative environments when he can't get our attention otherwise. I don't know about you, but I pray harder when I'm in the valley than when I'm on the mountaintop. There is just something about my back being up against the wall. There is something about going through hardship and heartbreak that drives me to my knees, that drives me to the Word of God. I pray more diligently when I'm in trouble. I search God's Word more intently when my back is up against the wall. And so sometime God will create negative environments in our lives because we will hear him differently in the valley than we will on the mountain. I know nobody likes the negative environments in life. But what Jonah discovers and what I have discovered in life and ministry is that the negative environments, though they are painful, though they are hurtful, though they are less than desirable, they are necessary. Because God can get our attention in those seasons when he can't get our attention otherwise. It is true in Jonah's life, it is true in many of our lives individually, and it is also true in the life of churches. Because many of us have been praying, God, get me out of what I'm going through. Maybe our prayers ought to change and begin to be, God, what are you trying to teach me through what I'm going through? that sometimes God creates these environments, these negative environments, these hard environments, these painful seasons of our lives. And we're always asking God, God, why am I in what I'm going through? Why don't you get me out? And it's in those situations that God can speak to us in ways that we will never hear him otherwise. First Baptist, be encouraged. Know it's been a hard season, but it's necessary. The pain, the tears, the heartache, the heartbreak, the frustration, the discouragement, they're necessary to draw us closer to his word, to draw us closer to him, to draw us closer to one another. And in Jonah chapter 2, the whole chapter, we see God dealing with his servant in this negative environment. 3 days, three nights. And by the end of the second chapter, your Bible says that Jonah repents. And when Jonah repents, God instructs the fish, you can release him now. And after 3 days and three nights, that fish vomits, spits up, maybe he shouldn't say vomit, spits up Jonah on dry land. So here's the picture. God creates the environment, swallows Jonah. For 3 days, three nights, God is dealing with his servant Jonah in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea. By the end of Jonah chapter 2, Jonah repents and God releases him. See, I'm saying something and y'all are missing it. Jonah repents, and when Jonah repents, then God releases him. Some of what we've been going through because God is trying to minister to us in it. And when we will repent from our disobedience to God, then God will release us from what we've been going through. Let me talk to these people over here. Maybe y'all again. Because at the end of Jonah chapter 2, Jonah repents. And when Jonah repents, God releases him. Maybe you ought to investigate. We need to investigate our hearts and ask God, what are you trying to teach me through what we're going through? And are there areas of our lives, are there areas in our church, are there areas in our families that we need to repent? And the Bible says that when Jonah repents, then God releases him. So if you're here this morning, if you're here and you've been wondering, God, how do I get out of what I'm going through? Maybe we ought to do just a little bit of repenting, confessing our sins. In fact, your Bible says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The negative environment is necessary. But by the end of the second chapter, Jonah is spit up on dry land. And then you and I arrive at the text in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, and your Bible there says, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. God is giving Jonah another chance to get it right. In fact, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, when the word comes to Jonah the second time, telling Jonah to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the message that I tell you, Jonah responds differently in Jonah chapter 3 than he responded in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 3 says, so Jonah arose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 3, Jonah does what God told him to do. But he received the same message in Jonah chapter 1. What's the difference between Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 1? The only difference between Jonah chapter 1 and Jonah chapter 3 is Jonah chapter 2. Now, I know that sounds comical, but when you look at it in its totality, it was the same God speaking to the same man, telling him to go to the same place, minister to the same people in Jonah chapter 1 that he received in Jonah chapter 3. But he responded oddly in Jonah chapter 1, because in Jonah chapter 1, he said, I'm not going. In Jonah chapter 3, he said, I better go. What's the difference? Jonah chapter 2. It was something about what God did in Jonah chapter 2 that when he heard the message, the command to go in Jonah chapter 3 that he heard in Jonah chapter 1, he responded a whole lot differently in Jonah chapter 3. Maybe I make it just a little bit personal. It was something about when my mother would say to me, didn't I tell you not to do that? But because you want to do it anyhow, there are consequences and repercussions for your disobedience. You wait till your daddy get home. And it was something about the rod of correction. It was something about the chastening hand of my God, than my father. The disciplining hand of my father that seemed to change my attitude. Some of y'all had a daddy like I did. That when I heard the commands the second time, I responded a whole lot differently. My attitude was a whole lot different the second time than it was the first time. All I'm simply saying is, though the negative environments painful, they make you weep, they make you pull out your hair, well, you know, make your hair fall out, cause you to doubt and to wonder, they're necessary. And in Jonah chapter 3, Jonah gets another chance to be used by God. Jonah gets another chance to be God's missionary. Jonah gets another chance to be a part of God's kingdom missions. And so he goes to Nineveh. And as he's entering the city, he is proclaiming the message that God gave him. He is obeying God. And Jonah chapter 3 verse 5 says that the people heard the message of God and they repented. You don't believe me, right here. Let me read it for you. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed the fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Jonah went. Jonah proclaimed the message that God gave to him, and the people believed. People gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Lives were transformed because Jonah obeyed. Listen, my friend, there are a lot of lost people in your area and mine. And if we've been praying, many of us have been praying for revival. We want those people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And how, you've been asking, how is it going to happen? We see it right here in the text. It is when the people of God take serious the commands of God, walk in obedience to God, engage people who are far from God, share with them the message we have from God, then those people might turn to God. It is when Jonah obeyed God and he engaged people who were far from God. He gave them the message from God, and then those people turned to God. It is true in Jonah's life, and it is going to be true in ours as well. So in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. Jonah goes, Jonah proclaims, the people believe, the people turn. But not only that, Jonah chapter 3 verse 6 says that the word came to the king also. and he believed. In fact, he tore his clothes, covered his head, and began to pass laws and legislations for the glory of God, that the name of the Lord should be heralded in that place. We've been praying, hoping our government would turn around. Listen, my friends, if we want people to be turned around, if we want our government to be turned around, it is going to be when we, the people of God, begin to obey God. So Jonah chapter 3 verse 6 says that the king also heard, believed, began to pass laws and legislations, but the story doesn't stop there. Because if you look down at the 10th verse, Jonah chapter 3 verse 10, your Bible says that when God saw the works, that they turned their ways, or that they turned from their evil ways, and that God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. God relented. God didn't change his mind. What God did was he held back from them what they rightfully deserved. He relented. He held back their death, their disaster, their destruction. Let me just say this. I know time is far spent, but let me just say this. Many of us need to recognize that we all, because of our sinfulness, because we've all sinned, because we've all disobeyed God, we all deserve hell. We all deserve the wrath of God's judgment. But God, through Jesus Christ, those of us who have placed our faith and trust in him, we celebrate even this morning, because God held back from us what we rightfully deserve. We deserve the wrath of God. But God has held it back. In fact, we sung a song this morning that said he looked upon him. He placed on him my sin. Y'all see, y'all don't know what to get excited about. He became sin for me and died in my place. And because he became what I was, I am what he was. He is, and that is righteous. So God held back from them. So here's the picture. Jonah goes, Jonah preaches, people believe, the king also believed, the people repent, turn toward God. God holds back from them the destruction, the devastation, the disaster that he was going to pour out on them. Now, you would have thought that Jonah would have been happy, that because of his ministry, a whole city, a whole nation, Nineveh, was saved from the wrath of God. But in Jonah chapter 4, we see Jonah angry with God because God has the audacity to save those people. He's angry with God. He says to God, God, I'd rather be dead than to see those people walking in your grace and your mercy. But what Jonah doesn't recognize is that the same grace that he had given to those people was the same grace that he himself had received. And so throughout Jonah chapter 4, Jonah is praying, asking God, just kill me. And in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, we get the first glimpse of Nineveh. In fact, God describes Nineveh, that exceedingly great city, as a city in which more than 120,000 persons dwelled. So because of Jonah's ministry, 120,000 people were spared the wrath of God's judgment. That's a significant ministry. First Baptist Naples, wouldn't you like to know that through your ministry, 120,000 people were spared the wrath of God's judgment? Jonah had a significant ministry, but we never talk about Jonah's ministry. I've heard stories of Jonah all my life. Vacation Bible school, Sunday school, BTU, and sermons. I've heard a lot of sermons and stories about Jonah. Here's what I always heard about Jonah. Here's a man who heard from God. Here's a man who disobeyed God. Here's a man who reaped the consequences of his disobedience. He was thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, swam to the bottom of the sea that spit him up after 3 days and three nights. That's what I've always heard about Jonah. What I never heard about Jonah is that Jonah had a significant ministry. That Jonah experienced revival. We never talk about Jonah's revival, Nineveh's revival. Why? Because Jonah's disobedience has overshadowed his ministry. And that all these years later, all we ever talk about Jonah is, here is a man who heard from God. Here is a man who disobeyed God. Here is a man who reaped the consequences of his disobedience. The only man in history ever to be swallowed by a fish that swims to the bottom of the sea, that spits him up on dry land after 3 days and three nights. As significant as his ministry is, this is all we ever hear about. The point I'm simply trying to make is you can be a person, you can be a church that does great things, have a significant ministry, but if you walk in disobedience, all that will be remembered of you may not be the impact of your ministry, but all that will be remembered of you is your disobedience. So you're asking, so what did God want from Jonah? It's a great question. Y'all asked the same question that the night crew asked. What does God want from Jonah? What God wanted from Jonah is what God wants from you. God wants your yes. Your unconditional yes. Your yes that says, God, no matter who, no matter where, no matter how long, no matter how what it costs me, my answer is yes. In fact, before I even know the question, the answer is yes. That's what God wants from you this morning. And maybe there's somebody here today and you're saying, you know what, I'm not on mission. What does God want from me? He wants your yes. Because the most important decision you can make today is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and say, yes, I believe I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, I believe that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross in my place. Yes, I believe that He offers salvation to anyone who places their faith and trust in Him. And yes, I'm on. So maybe you're here today and the most important decision you need to make is yes. We used to sing a song, and I'll take my seat. The words of the song are the way that I'll bid you farewell. The words of that song was simply this. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. My prayer for you is that we will be a people who simply say yes. Father, we thank you for our time together. Be glorified is our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.